In Syria, the staple of most meals is bread, thin, round, flatbread that we would probably call pita. Back in November, as fierce fighting raged across Syria, people started to run out of bread. Government forces were attacking bakeries in rebel-held areas and cutting off electricity so mills couldn't grind flour. But late last year, Syrians were desperate. Now the crisis has been somewhat alleviated, surprisingly, by a group the U.S. government has designated as terrorist. NPR's Kelly McEvers sent this report from Aleppo.
Let's start this story with one of the most interesting people we met in Aleppo. His name is Rafat al-Rifai. Rafat is a journalist, but like a lot of young Syrians, he's also an activist. Rafat is part of Aleppo's Transitional Revolutionary Council. It's basically a group of civilian leaders trying to solve Aleppo's problems. Rafat has taken up residence in an abandoned bank on the outskirts of the city. There's no electricity. It's dark and cold. All he has are cigarettes. Pretty soon after we sit down, some guys come to the door. They tell Rafat they need bread. Rafat says there are four main grain compounds in Aleppo province. These compounds grind grain into flour and store the flour in silos. Back in November, they all shut down. Rafat says rebel fighters known as the Free Syrian Army, or FSA, along with civilian leaders, went and convinced two of the compounds to reopen. With aid money they'd collected, the council helped the compounds get fuel for generators, and they offered protection. Flour made it to some of Aleppo's bakeries, and the bread crisis started to ease. Still, though, in neighborhoods like this one, a woman waiting in a long line says she waits for days to get bread. Rebels in the FSA get to jump to the front of the line.
It's been 3 days that I've been coming and I didn't get bread. That wait when you will see the FSA coming. They just get the bread, they get what they want, and they just leave. And we tell them, give us also bread. We are the same as you.
People all over the city have been getting frustrated with the FSA rebels. Then, about a month ago, something happened. That's when armed Islamist fighters with a group called Jabhat al-Nusra took over all four grain compounds. They provided fuel and protection. More bakeries opened. When the group was first formed about a year ago, Jabhat al-Nusra said its aim was to create an Islamic State in Syria. Back then, it carried out al-Qaeda-style suicide attacks on Syrian government interests. Then the group changed tactics and began fighting alongside FSA rebels on the ground. It's thought the well-trained and well-equipped Jabhat al-Nusra is why rebels have succeeded in taking government military bases. Now, Jabhat al-Nusra is all about winning hearts and minds. It's about noon at this bakery in Aleppo. The noise is from an enormous generator that powers the place. Bread is usually sold in the morning. The few people gathered outside the closed gate are late.
So the gate is opening.
Give us bread.
And the guys who have bread have guns.
They also wear black headbands with an Islamic creed written in white. The fighters invite us inside, then immediately disappear. The customers keep knocking on the gate. We're taken upstairs to meet the owner, Abu Kamil. Abu Kamil says Jabhat al-Nusra fighters came to him about a month ago to sell him flour. They helped him get fuel for the generator and offered him protection. His bakery used to make fine pastries, but he switched to bread when fighting got heavy. He says Jabhat al-Nusra saved his business.
They came to me and offered me because they knew that I would have been forced to close it.
Now, back to Rafat. It turns out that in addition to his work with the Revolutionary Council, he's one of the few journalists who's been granted extensive access to Jabhat al-Nusra. Rafat was able to meet the group several hours a day, several days in a row. He says the hardest thing was not being able to smoke his unholy cigarettes. Western journalists are almost always denied access to the group. Rafat says because Syrians see so little support from the international community, and because FSA rebels are seen as corrupt and disorganized, Jabhat al-Nusra is filling the gap.
The Jabhat al-Nusra is not only trying to provide religious alternative, it is trying to provide an alternative for the government, an alternative for the Transitional Revolutionary Council, and also an alternative for the international community.
So they don't like this council, this Transitional Revolutionary Council.
They don't like anyone.
Especially Alawites, who adhere to an obscure version of Islam, and many of whom support Syria's government. It's clear not everyone in Aleppo is happy with how Jabhat al-Nusra is doing. In the Bustan al-Qasr neighborhood, people march past Jabhat al-Nusra's base, demanding electricity and flour. We later saw people arguing with a Jabhat al-Nusra fighter. Requests at the door were referred to another office. And in that same neighborhood, civilians are trying to work with FSA rebels to clean up their act. Mohammed Aouna Marouf is a former PE teacher who now heads a kind of community policing center in a building that used to be a kindergarten. Teletubbies and flowers are painted on the walls of the courtyard.
This is the prison?
Yeah. Yes.
Is anybody in there?
The prison is really just a small storage room. Three guys lie on mattresses in the dark. One says he was roughed up by FSA rebels. Marouf says he runs a unit of about 32 men who police the neighborhood. If they see FSA rebels abusing people at checkpoints or bakeries or looting, they detain them and call them in for questioning. If there's enough evidence, they send them to civil court. We asked Marouf about Jabhat al-Nusra. He's tight-lipped. Our work is separate from them, he says. He says his group has received its own donations of flour and is giving it directly to the people. We ask him why men with guns should listen to him.
I would say, well, who appointed you? Who gave you this power? Where did it come from, you know?
Here's what I tell them, he says. It's the same power that made you think you could carry weapons in the first place. Kelly McEvers, NPR News.